Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the Netflix show Sweet Tooth.
This week we are covering Season 3, Episode 7, the penultimate episode of the series, The Road Ends Here. Except it doesn't, because there's one more episode, but that's the name of this episode.
Right. Yeah. What did you think of this week's episode? General thoughts.
Okay. Here's my thing. Preface it with, I love this show. I love watching this show. I love the characters. I love the story of this show. However,
I was waiting for that. I didn't know if it was going to be a however or but.
Yeah. Because I love this show so much, and especially because as a podcaster here, my quote-unquote job, not really, but kind of, is to really watch and analyze and take notes and think deeper about what's going on. Again, I love this show. I love it so much, and I'm going to be so sad when it's out of my life. But like this, especially the back half of this last season, has been frustrating because of just the, like, let's take the in-world logic that we've built and then just throw it out the window to make sure we wrap up the story. And that's not to say I hated this episode. There's a lot of great things, and we will talk about those. Like, I'm still enjoying watching the show, but like it's starting to get frustrating when it's like they're just like, well, how do we get from A to B? We just jump right to it without any, you know, explanation or, you know, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter because we got to wrap this up until the end of the story. And that's a little frustrating that this show has kind of suffered from that a little bit. And it happens to a lot of shows when they're trying to just get something done and they have a story they want to tell, but they're not able to take the time to flesh it out and make it make sense sometimes. And it's frustrating. However, I'm getting that out of the way so that I can just like take that negativity, be like, it's there. Put it in a box, set it aside. Now let's talk about all the fun stuff. You know,
you and I are on the same page. That's for sure. I'm with you, and I share those feelings. I do enjoy the hell out of this show. We talked about Gus and these other characters so much that, you know, I'm invested, and I care, and I want to see what happens, and I want happy endings for everyone. But like you, I do share those same thoughts just with some of the frustrations that I feel like we've talked a lot in the, especially the, like you said, this back half of the season, that we have to keep saying, okay, that doesn't make sense, but we just have to kind of file that away and not think about it too hard and just try to focus like on the story here. But when you have to keep saying that over and over again,
yeah,
it gets a little, like you said, a little frustrating. So I do share that. I think, you know, we're probably going to talk about the same things when we get into our notes. But I think it's fair to at least bring attention to it. I don't want to not talk about it and make it like we're not paying attention to it or even acknowledging it. I don't want to focus on it too hard because it's, you know, I do want to try to focus on the story and the characters. But I think it's fair, you know, like you're doing, to kind of call it out. Like, we see it. We're also frustrated about it, you know, if other viewers are too. So that's a good way to kind of open with general thoughts. Totally fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. So
get it out the way. And now we can talk about all the stuff that was really fun in this episode.
I was trying really hard to not focus too much as I was getting my notes. I'm like, I just really want to think about like the story and the characters and not how we got there. So
yeah. Now, is that we'll to see. Say that when those moments come up in our notes that I won't be snarky about it? No, absolutely.
Well, you know, look, Paik, we're nothing if not snarky here, right? So that's gonna just be a given, as always. So I would expect nothing less. All right. Well, with that being said, here we are at our penultimate episode for season three, the final season. What is your first point of the night?
I'm going to talk about Jep, just Jep.
Okay.
Because, yeah, like, he's got a bigger story as far as, like, with Birdie and with Gus that I'm sure we will talk about more of that kind of arc and those characters, what they accomplish together. But really just him, the focus on him, because I thought it was really interesting that this entire episode played as a kind of cruel bait and switch on us, where the entire episode, they just are foreshadowing and teasing his death at the end.
Yeah.
Only for them to flip it on us at the very end. I don't know if he's safe, really, because we still have the finale to go next week. But and it's not a complaint, because I actually really like that. I thought the bait and switch was, I mean, still heartbreaking and horrific, but clever and well written. There's some really good writing that this show still can do. Where it is, the whole thing is foreshadowed. It starts with the flashback to him, like, I guess his last game as a professional football player, and he's sitting there kind of thinking and speaking to himself. We get that monologue, the whole, you know, my mama said, you got nothing to live for until you got something to die for. And, you know, we see him at that time, he's talking about, you know, his pregnant wife and the baby, the things that we know ended tragically. But then now throughout this show and his arc, we've seen that he has found that again, and he's back in a place where he has something to die for, which means he has something to live for. And that was like a little foreshadowing. And then just the whole thing is like him struggling to do this task, or him, you know, here, or all these little moments of like, you can go on without me, or, you know, you've gone this far, you can do this, or it's okay. And just every little time that he's on screen, they're almost like, oh, he's definitely going to die. These are some of his last, you know, big meaningful words. This is his last interaction with Gus. This is going to be. And so for the switch for it to be Birdie at the end, I thought was actually still sad, but very clever that I didn't see it coming, that my jaw dropped and stayed dropped till the credits were rolling, you know.
Yeah.
That was well done. But I think that it was still, they put a lot of emphasis on Jep's journey and really seeing how much he's changed and grown. And I really enjoyed watching that as well, as much as it would put me on edge that he was going to die at the end of this episode the entire first watch. But I liked that. Although, yeah, it was him at the door at the church, which we talked about last week. Plot-wise, I'm not very happy about, I guess. But I love Jep. I love Jep and Gus together. So emotionally, I'm very glad that they're back together. And then at least it was Nuka, not Stars, that got the credit for how he got there. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I remember talking about that with you last week. I kind of felt the same, but agree. I do love Jep and Gus together, for sure.
Yeah. Also, did we know that he was claustrophobic before this episode? Was that ever talked about, or was that just something that never came up, and now they're like, oh, by the way, to add some drama to this situation.
Yeah, let's up the intensity. It's, you know, we're only at like a six or a seven. We got to amp it up a little.
Right. I mean, he's a pretty big guy, so I buy it. You typically would be in that situation, because there's, I mean, I say that as a big guy myself, that you're a little more claustrophobic because the fear of getting stuck in tighter places is a lot more real. So I get it.
Yeah, I thought about that. I don't recall if it's been mentioned either in passing or anything else in any previous episodes or seasons. So I think this is the first time that we're getting that information, which happens to be convenient.
Yeah.
Considering the timing and what they're going to go do. Yeah, I'm also claustrophobic too. Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's as extreme, but I'm a tall person, and you know, being in a smaller space when you're a taller person is, you know, for me anyway. Yeah, I share that. I don't like being in tight spaces. It's probably more of the control thing, honestly, too. Like, lack of control, I think I have issues with, but we won't get into any psych sessions today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is the first we're hearing of it. Well, I'll add to that. You said a lot of what I have in my notes too. And I agree, the opener that we got and then the expectations, because traditionally, you know, when you get an opener like this and you're focusing on that one character and you're like, this is their last episode, they're going to focus on this character, and they could still go that way and subvert your expectations, you know, and continue on with that. Sometimes shows do that. You're like, oh no, that's a red herring. It's not, you know, it's not going to be them. But then they do end up going that way. So I guess it could have went either way. But I liked that opener with him in the locker room and, you know, it being his final game. And I don't remember if we know like how old Jep is, but you know, even as a, you know, someone in like your earlier mid 30s, the years of playing basketball, or sorry, basketball, good grief. What what show was I watching? Football, you know, definitely.
Lacrosse, yeah, you know, whatever he
lacrosse,
did.
Yeah, whatever that sport was. Goodness. Did I say I had lack of sleep, you know, last night? I'm going to blame it on that. But football takes a toll, and especially if you're a professional player, you've probably been playing, you know, since you were a little kid, high school, college, and then you play pro. And he's a defensive end. He's probably taken quite a few hits. You know, your body just starts to wear down. And we've seen that over time in the last couple of seasons. You know, we know he's got a bad knee. The world is a lot harsher. A lot of the conveniences, you know, are not in this post-apocalyptic world, to make it a little bit easier. You know, if you know, you need to slow down a little, there's a lot of, you know, walking versus being able to get into a car that's more convenient when you're traveling and such. So, you know, his body is just really worn on him in those years. So he was already, I feel like, kind of worn just by the time it's this final game, much less these like 10 years of since the crumble. So we get that reunion with Gus, and then he gets to meet Birdie. And I just thought, wow, this is really going to be it, because, you know, Birdie's like, do you have one last adventure in you? Mm-hmm. And he's kind of, you can just kind of see, even though he doesn't really say anything at the time, but you can just see that weighing on him. That strength that he has to, like, just this very last reserve that he's got to, like, continue on to this last journey to help Gus finish his journey and to be there, like, as protection. Like, if he doesn't go, he and Birdie are going to be so much more vulnerable, because he knows that, you know, Zhang is on the way. So just seeing that resilience in Big Man, I've really loved where he's come in this journey. So far, since I know during like the beginning of the season, it was just like, oh man, he's getting all cranky and getting super negative, and can't blame him. But it was just a little bit of a different side of him. So I really love where he's come to so far. So I talked a lot, and that was like my point as well. So. I'll just let you go into your next one, because I shouldn't have talked as much.
That's all right. No.
That one.
No. We always talk about all, that's what we do. Talk and talk and talk and talk, and people still listen, so we keep doing it.
I know. They keep the downloads keep coming.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
But yeah, next point that I've got is Blood of the Earth. AKA hashtag stop the sick. no.
That's funny.
But yeah, just to kind of talk again, sort of about what we learn about it, but really the big conundrum, the big problem that our main group faces, which is frustrating in a different way, because it's not like bad writing, but it's just really that's where this all leads to or ends, and it makes sense, but you're just like, man, that's. If only it could be better. You kind of feel with Gus is whenever Birdie and Jep are both just very resigned at the end to be like, maybe we don't do anything. Maybe, you know, the entire show has been about finding answers and getting to this location. And now that we're here, we're like, never mind. Let's not do anything and just let it play out like it was going to anyway. Which makes sense. It's not bad. But, like, that's what everything has kind of been about. So it puts you in the shoes of Gus, who's like, really, guys? Like, all of this we've been through, and then you're just going to give up. That's that hope that he's had. It's like, there's got to be something we can do. This is not, nobody needs to lose in this situation. He's still going to be racking his brain and figuring out, I've got to save everyone. I've got to do something. Whether he can or not, we don't know. We will, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. But it does, it's a little frustrating. It puts you in that place with Gus where I was like, yeah, buddy, I'm right here with you. I don't fully understand what's going on. I wish things we could just make it, you know, fixed and make it better. And this sucks. So you see that with him. So it's not a bad thing because it's great. And Christian Convery, again, just his face and his emotions and his body language, incredible actor. So I've loved watching him grow and what he's done on this show. And it because of that connection, I feel like I'm right there in his shoes. Like, dude, this sucks. Like, what are we can do better. We can do something different. This doesn't have to be the end. And then just outside of the show, as a human, I'm a little conflicted, right? Like, because you put yourself in the show, and then you're like, well, should all people die? Like, is it really that bad? And then I go down this weird tangent of, like, what are even the, you know, realities of what they're talking about? It's like, okay, you stop the sick, and then you possibly stop hybrids. But the current living hybrids will probably live out the rest of their lives, but then that's it. It's like, what's to say that they still couldn't reproduce on their own, even with the blood of the earth not still leaking out? Like, what stops their genetic capabilities? And then it's like, well, what does that look like if you know, hybrids grow up and then reproduce and have children? Then do you have different animal hybrids that are forming the future generations of, like, chimeras that are like, I'm half zebra and half walrus? And, like, what does that look like? And then I was like, man, this is a whole rabbit hole that I've just completely gone down. But then I was thinking about it. It's like, well, then if all the humans are gone, then also hybrids as we know them can't be born anymore either that way, because they are born from human mothers. So if the humans are all gone, then it only is the hybrids that are able to continue generations from themselves going forward, which again, then you have just these crazy animal mixture hybrids with human ancestors that maybe affect their genetics in some ways. And it's like, okay, I've thought way too much about this. I need to stop.
You really put a lot of thought into that. And I love it.
It sent me spiraling.
I can tell. No, that's all really good thoughts, though. I mean, that's valid. Yeah. You know, what would that look like if humans cease to exist because they just, let's say that that's how it would play out, that they can't stop the sick and then all humans are susceptible to it. Hybrids, you know, are immune to it, so they live, but then what does that look like? Hybrid, like you said, hybrids as we know it, you know, they're born from human mothers, so then are they able to continue to procreate and, you know, build up the hybrid race? You know, yeah. What have you, you know, I don't know. Cause I don't know how many hybrids are out there. It feels like there aren't that many. We don't know, but it feels like there aren't many because we know so many of them were getting killed by the Last Men and, you know, the secret sauce and, you know, and then just in general, people, I think just being cruel, and doing harmful things, to hybrids in general, just upset because, you know, they think that they brought the sick. And so, I mean, I don't even know how many hybrids there are, but they're, you know, probably would be considered like endangered or something. So what does that look like, you know, for them? I don't know.
It's all a bunch of questions that I don't think the show ever wanted me to ask, but that's what you get with me. So
someone has to ask them, Paige. Someone has to.
Right. The tree housing the blood of the earth or whatever, these roots in the tree that's in the cave just looks like their branches are just like deer antlers, which, you know, whatever the force behind all of this is, clearly has a favorite animal and a favorite hybrid. And then the first one of each generation, Gus or Munak, like very, very into deer species and subspecies for sure.
Yeah, a little favoritism there.
Mm-hmm. And then he's talking about, Gus is mentioning the heartbeat is the tree is in there. And I was under the idea that it was just Munak and Gus that were hearing each other's heartbeats. And then it's like, oh, so apparently this too as well, instead? I don't know. I still feel like they were drawn to each other through the heartbeat. And then is it like, what is the heartbeat? It's the force. It's the circle of life. I don't know. Whatever. It's like working through all of them. I don't know. It's a lot that with only one episode left, there's so many questions that at this point I'm resigned to being like, probably not getting any of these answers. But that's what I do, is like to think about the most ridiculous things and go, well, what about that?
I think that's perfectly valid. But yeah, I wonder that too. I was like, well, wait a minute. If that was the source of the heartbeat, then was it just like some sort of like instinct pulling Minook and Gus together? I don't know. You know, animals and, you know, like, can be so mysterious. Like they were talking about in one of the other episodes, like how the salmon know to go to the same place to spawn every year. How do this, you know, the elk know to go to their breeding grounds, you know, every year? You know, was it something like that? That was, you like,
yeah,
pulling them, some sort of like magnetic, instinctual like pull, or was it that? I don't know. Probably, again, like you said, a lot of questions that we'll not get answers to, because maybe it's not relevant, but be nice to one time anyway, get all the answers to the questions right. That we have just once. Oh, that was good. Did you have anything else to say about that, or was that?
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Didn't want to move on to my next point until
it was just
you were finished.
My insane, like, psychotic breakdown spiral of, like, what does this all mean? That's what that was.
Having an existential
moment.
I appreciate that. All right. Well, I kind of touched on it in my first point a little bit whenever, you know, kind of mentioning Jep being there at the door of the church and having the little mini reunion, as short as what it was. But this was one of my favorite moments, was when everyone finally meets. Maybe not everyone, but at least Jep and Birdie, and we have Gus. You know, Jep has been caring for Gus, you know, since, you know, his pup died, and they've been on this journey together. And, you know, Gus has been in search of his mom all this time. So there's this constant, you know, journey and got to get Birdie. And then we finally get Birdie, but then there's no Jep. So it was really cool to kind of see Birdie really meet Jep after hearing Gus talk about him so much. And it was like some real tearful emotional moments, I thought, you know, when Birdie was, you know, she's kind of smiling to herself as she was hearing Gus tell Minook about his upbringing in Yellowstone with Pupa. And she was getting to hear some stories. You know, she keeps hearing big man, big man. And she's like, who the heck is this big man? And then finally, when she does get to meet Jep, I feel like those moments, you know, as he's over talking, or in the previous episode when he was talking to Minook, and then when Gus is telling her about Big Man, and then she finally gets to meet him in person. I can't imagine what that must have felt like for Birdie, because it had to just be filling in all these blanks of the years, you know, that she has been apart from him. I mean, she left him when he was just a baby, so she's been gone these like 10 plus years. I can't imagine what that must have been like for her, because I think I'm sure, been wondering all this time, you know, how is he? What is he doing? Is he okay? You know, and not knowing that he wasn't even with, you know, his pubba. You know, she didn't know until that episode that he had passed. So she was probably just still hoping that they were, you know, living a nice life in hiding somewhere, and that, you know, he was okay. But then getting to hear all these little tidbits, I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, wow, what she must be feeling to finally get like all these missing pieces, you know, and filling in those blanks, and she's not been in his life. So I really liked that. Short is what they were. So, yeah, short, but that was my second point. What's your next point?
I can tie that into my next, though. I've got this one, which is kind of the journey that they go on, the cave trio, Team Gus. Birdie, Jep, and Gus, and starting with that not reunion, but meeting of the two of them, where Birdie is seeing like this is the person who is the reason her son, or Gus, again, it's like mother-son is the relationship that we know, but it's not biological, but that doesn't matter. I think that is kind of something that's being said even with this show. It's like that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And to see this person that, you know, because of him, Gus is alive.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, has played, you know, I'm sure, you know, she knows that Richard Pubba instilled in him a lot of these really great, like, kind of morals and humanity. And I think that has played a big role in why Gus is so caring and so kind and sees the best in everybody, because he was raised by such a wonderful, loving individual. But then also the other parts of him, his determination, his resilience, his strength. A lot of that comes from Jep, and I think Birdie realizes that and recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you've also played a huge role in who he has become and who he is. And I think she sees that, and that's a really special moment to see that just kind of recognition when she looks at him. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, very nice.
But as we continue on, they're looking for the cave, and Gus is, and we see that play out in front of Birdie. You know, Gus is looking for the cave, and he's getting frustrated, and Jep calms him and centers him, just reminding him, you know, listen to your heart. When he's calling for you, listen to your heart. No, there's nothing else you can do. But for real, that interaction really did melt my heart a lot. Just that moment is just like, you got this, you've got us this far, you know what to do. And Birdie even talks and says, you're so good with him. Like, she sees how good Jep really is for him and has played that part in who he is. And I love that. Also, we get the return of Weird Deer Shit, which I loved that.
Yes, nuts. What a great callback, right? Weird Deer Shit. Oh.
Yeah. And then the next callback, speaking of that, was this callback to, you immediately just get the image of little tiny Gus hopping over the rocks on the creek in Yellowstone, where they've got to cross this ice and the rocks are there. I kind of wish that Gus didn't point it out. You know, he's like, oh, I remember I used to do this at Yellowstone on the creek. And I was like, to catch some people up. But like immediately I saw the rocks crossing the water and my brain just jumped to that. And yeah. So part of me selfishly was like, I wish Gus didn't even say anything. It was just for me to go, oh, yeah, like it clicked and be like, this is kind of an emotional moment here. Wow.
I know.
It all comes full circle.
I hate that they made him like say it out loud, like to mm-hmm. remind us. Because, I thought the same thing, as he's, you know, kind of shifting the light a little bit. I'm like, yeah, I used to do that in the creek all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay. Like, I'm sure there's other people that, because I know, because I go online and read comments and stuff, there are people that just don't pay a lot of attention when they watch shows.
It's true.
Not any of our listeners. You guys are amazing. And especially, you know, you write in and, you know, you guys know what's going on. But, yeah, there's people I'll see on comments. It's like, where did that come from? It's like, do you not watch the show? Like, it's a very clear reference. But so I'm sure there's people out there that needed that. But I loved that, the callback, immediately when I saw it. And then Jep's able to save Gus from falling into the ice or into the water. And then the favors immediately returned back to him, which leaves that little funny line. Is it always like this with you guys? Yeah, pretty much. Like, immediately answering, like, yeah. It's kind of par for the course, what we do.
I loved that. They're just, yeah. The chemistry between them, just love that moment.
Mm-hmm. I thought the little cave tunnel of frozen purple flowers was a really cool set piece, and also a creative and fun, not fun for them within the world of the show, but for me, a viewer, fun kind of obstacle for them to deal with. Because you're like, wow, how do you deal with this? And the fact that they realize they're safe because they're frozen, but then the flare she threw in there starts to melt them. I thought all of that was done really well. Because it was done really well, it adds to something that frustrates the hell out of me later, but that's okay. We'll talk about that. but I thought it within itself, that scene was really cool. And then as Jep has been helping Gus, then Birdie's able to go back and help Jep. You bring him down from his panic with the power of Carole King. Which I love then that Jep is like, it's so stupid, but it works.
I love that.
Yeah. And then we get to the end of the episode for them, which, again, Sing and Zhang. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But that moment where Sing has just gone full evil and he's ready to sacrifice Gus. And then we see, again, it's this whole buildup where Jep's going to jump out in front of him and take the blade. And then that's what you think happens. And then it's this twist with Birdie, which was insane. Again, like I said, my jaw just dropped. That bait and switch was incredible in the worst way, but incredible. Well done. But then part of me was like, why did you have to run in front of Gus? Like, use those football skills that we saw in the flashback and just tackle Sing. But no, I can buy. I fully believe that there wasn't enough time and space between them for that to happen. Or there was too much space, not enough time, whatever. I could see that in that flash second, like, no, that's the better option versus, like, you wouldn't have made it in time to actually, like, take Sing out. Is he standing behind Gus or something? I don't know. Again, it was shot in a way that, like, I'm not exactly sure where everybody is, but we'll go with it.
Yeah. It wasn't straightforward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then just, yeah, that ending with Gus over Birdie. Just the ugly crying sobs from me. It's good I live alone. So nobody has to deal with that when I was watching that the first time.
just my dog had to deal with me. It's terrible,
man. Because again, just I was like, my poor boy, you know, just seeing his that anguish at he just lost his mother after just finding her, mm-hmm. and all of the emotions that he's going through. Again, Christian Convery and his face doing a number on my soul one more time. Just all the flowers to that kid. Holy cow. But yeah, it was well done, and the fact that it crushed my soul, which is what they were going for. So bravo for that.
Yeah, mission accomplished there. Mm-hmm. I like we talked about, didn't expect it to be Birdie at all. I mean, it was going to be sad regardless whether, you know, if they're looking, oh, should it be Birdie? Should it be Jep? It's going to be completely heartbreaking whichever way that you go, because either way, it's just another loss for Gus, you know? And it was never going to be easy if the writers are like, well, somebody's got to go, either of them. It's heartbreaking to poor Gus. It's like, how much more can this poor kid take? Like, he's so hopeful, you know, all the time, even through all the loss that he's been through. And it's like, how much more can he take before he loses that, you know, before he loses that hope and, you know, goes the other way, you know? And I know he's so resilient, but it's like some people really have a limit as to how much loss that they can take, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was rough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's my point there. It's just their journey that they went through, which ups and downs, that for the most part, their part of it was very compelling. And I think a lot of it was really interesting and well done, with a lot of callbacks and high stakes moments.
Yeah, I agree.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, If you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's KundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That was also one of my points, and it felt like a very once we got in there, like, am I watching Indiana Jones or am I playing a video game or something to that effect?
It really did feel like, yeah, you know, like some kind of video game where you're going through the, and it's like, oh, there's this obstacle, and there's like kind of a puzzle you got to figure out, like, what do I need to do in order to get past this?
Yeah, yeah, or what's, you know, do I need to hit a button somewhere to, you know, get to the other side? Or how am I going to, you know, leap on these rocks where, you know, where the floor might fall away? In this case, it's ice that's going to break. So felt very much like that, which was kind of fun. But, I was thinking, you know, Jep had those glow sticks that he broke and just threw across the ice. And I guess you probably wouldn't want to throw the flare because it would melt the ice even faster. And I know that they wanted to test it out first, you know, to see, well, is it just freezing or is it completely frozen? You know, valid. I'm glad they at least did that. But then when they get to the room with the flowers, like, do you got any more of those glow sticks? Because I feel like that would have
used all the glow sticks on the ice and then they fell and then,
Yeah, I guess they fell into the ice when the rocks get across and went in, because I don't recall seeing them any longer. Yeah. But, and obviously you can't just swoop down and get them. But I'm like,
right,
man, I bet you wish you had them now, because
Should have packed twice the glow sticks and used half of them.
Right. Did you have to use all your supply on just that? I don't know. But I'm like, boy, you probably wish you had them now, because now you're going into this room where it's full of those purple flowers, which seem to transmit the sick in some way. They're associated with the sick. People are always hiding from them, trying not to breathe it in. So I feel like that's what they're telling us. So I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll let that go for a minute. And then, yeah, the claustrophobia thing comes up and Jep has that moment. Makes sense. It looked like a very tight space, probably looked even smaller with all of the vines and vines of flowers. And I, again, like you, loved that moment between him and Birdie. It kind of gave them, you know, a moment of the two, you know, two people who mean the most to Gus, you know, having that moment. I thought was really nice. And Gus saying, oh, I know that song. Puppet used to, you know, hum that when he thought I wasn't listening. And she was like, really? And I was like, oh, you know, even though we lost Birdie, I'm really glad that she got to see that Gus was okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that she got to meet Jep, and not just from Gus and hearing stories, but actually got to meet him and kind of see for herself what kind of person he was, to see their relationship and how much they care about each other, how much Jep cares about Gus and how protective he is of him and being that father figure, parental figure that he's been without. So I think that's like one takeaway that I guess was, if you can make it into a positive, that I was glad that Birdie at least got to see that. Like, she at least got to see Gus know he's okay. He's got someone that cares for him. And, you know, I think it made it easier for her to sacrifice. I mean, obviously she's going to, you know, either one of them sacrifice themselves so Gus can continue to live. But, you know, knowing she probably felt a little bit more at peace about making that decision, knowing that Jeff was going to be there to take care of him.
Yeah.
You know, that he would be, that he wouldn't be, you know, completely alone. I try to just think, oh, they just get to the end of the cave and, oh, look, everybody just lives happily ever after. We just, nothing else happens after that. We're just going to forget all of that other stuff.
If we're throwing this logic at, you know, Gus pulls the axe out of the tree, Zhang and Sing vanish into dust like the Avengers. And it's like, we've done it.
Just try not to think about anything that happens after they get to like the main opening with the tree in the cave. But I mean, I don't even know how to tackle, you know, that whole subject that when they're talking about like this whole moral dilemma, you know, should the sick be stopped? Should the hybrids be stopped? I mean, I don't even know, you know, how to even tackle that. I know I've made comments, you know, throughout the show, but there are good humans. Not all humans are garbage. I know this.
We need to be more like Gus and see that there's good people that exist.
I know there are good people that exist.
He reminds us every time.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't even know how to, to really tackle that. But I don't know. But that was pretty heartbreaking once, you know, Zhang and everyone else shows up there in the cave. I know I've got thoughts about that. You know, again, yeah, like you.
I've been like circling those, kind of like.
Yeah. Okay. What is your next point?
All right. So I've got one big one to talk about.
Okay.
Which is Operation Outpost Takeback, with Sienna and the Outposters, as I'm calling them, with Becky and Wendy helping them out. And yeah, just this whole kind of arc throughout the episode to talk about them, with Becky and Sienna really the ones devising the plan to take back the outpost. Odell says he has a stash of weapons, which apparently we'll see what those are when we get to there. But as they're talking to everybody, and then Wendy is just super proud of her sister's murderous past. You know, oh, she used to kill last man. Like, she's got this. we can handle this. They go in. Yes, Nuka was awesome for grabbing the clicker. I'm surprised Rosie didn't have it on her like they were expecting. Like, you'd think she would have that on her at all times. That's not something she would ever just leave sitting on a table somewhere away from her.
Yeah, curious.
Especially when the boys are out and running around. Like, if they're, like, caged up, locked up somewhere, maybe she'll have it hanging or put up somewhere special. But, like, if they're out walking around, you'd think she's always going to have that on her.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned, Odell said he had a stash, but you know, you would think guns, but no, he was talking more hammers and hockey sticks, which, all right, sure, we'll go with it.
Just go with what you got.
Better than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That nail gun was a good idea, though, I thought.
That one, yeah. Yeah. That scene where Jordan sees Becky and he points the gun up her, and he was going to just fire, and then the nails right into his hand and arm. And because I was like, what was that? And then you turn to Sienna with a nail gun. And immediately I went, fucking ow. Like,
yes.
No, thank you. Becky and Wendy's trap plan was really great. Only if it would have worked at all. It would have been great. But Rosie and the boys a little smarter than that. But at least we get that little moment where Becky can spit some more facts at Rosie about her situation before they run.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe with Rosie, I've got more thoughts about her later point, or like extra notes. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. Yeah, but then with the nail gun, and then the rest of the outposters attack, and then they start taking the guns from the other people. I'm like, there you go. Now we've got good weapons to use, better than a hockey stick. And then the guy's on fire for some reason, which... I laughed so hard. I don't know why, but that's just my reaction to seeing somebody on fire in an action scene, is I'm just always like, ha ha, I don't know why, but it's like, I don't know what led to that guy walking around in flames, but that's fun.
Well, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think, the smartest decision when they're barricading the garage and where the beast is with flammable liquid in the barrels. I mean, that seemed kind of dumb.
Yeah. yeah, Wendy's badass Molotov move. I'm quite sure those barrels wouldn't have blown up that fast, but, you know, who cares? In these instances, that stuff really doesn't matter. I'm like, it's fun. It's cool. It's action. Becky's, nice job. Never do that again.
Yeah, that was fun.
The Wilhelm scream. You picked up on that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't pick up on the Wilhelm? I guess that's another one of those things that I just get very excited every time. Yay! There's a guy standing on one of the like catwalks firing at them, and Odell shoots him with the shotgun, and he flips over the railing and falls. Oh! It's so good.
Oh, that totally went over my head. Good pickup. Really good pickup.
The boys, I guess calling them the pack, the wolves, they really love sneaking up from the side with the clever girl approach, don't they? Mm-hmm. It's the second or third time we've seen them do that. And then, yeah, just at the end of it, again, one of those little kind of snarky things where I'm like, so again, they get the beast all started up, and it's running out. Jordan's driving it, which, of course, Jordan's driving it.
Ugh.
What a freaking Jordan who's got the beast. What a taint. Let's just hope he immediately drives it off an embankment somewhere. Just
this handful of nails.
Yeah.
Probably driving and shifting. I don't know how he's managing. I mean, it feels like there's probably some gears you gotta, look like a manual. I don't know. But I don't know that he's going to be doing much of anything with that hand. Seems improbable. Ugh. He could drive it with just one good working hand. But whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so it makes me wonder. It's like, so was there this whole plan of them going back and saving and taking back the outpost a complete failure? Because the whole point was, we can't let them charge the beast because the power it takes to do that will completely shut off all the drain all the power out of the outpost, and then that's it. And we hear the thing counting down. So it's like, well, somehow because they turned the power off at the last second before, literally a second before the beast started up, that everything magically works out and the power comes back. I'm going to say probably that second one, because that's kind of how this has been going. But that's just kind of snarky, me being like, you know, they're just going to yada yada that one. But okay. At least the action scenes were super cool.
That's funny, yada yada, right over that. Because I feel like that's probably what they will do. I thought this whole outpost thing seemed like it was for nothing. You needed to stop them from using all of your power source, or you were going to freeze for the winter, right? Like you weren't going to make it, and you didn't want them to get out with the beast because, you know, whatever they're going to do, what drill the blood of the earth, you know, so you don't want that to get to the cave where they're at. You essentially failed, I think, at both of those, because the beast is gone. And I don't know how that split second of turning it off, they were what, less than 5%?
Yeah.
By that.
Like, it was like a countdown of like power shutting. It's like, you know, power shutting down and completely drained in 5, 4, 3, 2, power off. We're good.
Yeah. Like,
we saved the world.
We've got all the power we need. We're
That'll do just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems very improbable, but like you said, that's like, probably where they're going to go.
It's like, I feel like that level of power is going to shut the, it's like, turning generators back on to recharge that power is going to take too much power to actually do that. Like, where do you go from there?
Exactly. Just to turn everything back on would take probably more power than what you were managing to save in those last few seconds. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't know. You said all the things. It was good to see the bad guys kind of get what was coming to them. You know, it was good to see, you know, just them using the various tools that they had. You know, like you said, hockey sticks, the nail gun. I thought that was super cool. I was like, hey, you just use what you got. I think, you know, Becky had a chance to shine. You know, I feel like we have gotten kind of removed from her being this former leader of the animal army, you know, and she used to take on the last men all the time. So I think she really had a chance to shine and show her skills. But yeah, everyone did a good job. But they still kind of lost because they still still got the beast out the door, and the power, in my opinion, seems to be completely shut down. So it's like all that work and they still failed. So I don't know. You just expect them to achieve by these impossible standards, but then it's like, oh no, they just failed. They're just going to let them fail. I thought an interesting choice. So
still hold out a hope that one of those, the wolf boys, will just like roll up at the end and be like, oh, I've been training engineering this whole time. Don't worry, I've got this. Sit back. I'll fix it all. I don't know why I want them to be dapper little English gentlemen, but
like the Beast
in my headcanon, it's just going to be there.
Yeah. Like Beast from X-Men.
Yeah. It's like they're just following their mother and grandmother's orders and they're just putting on this facade. But really, they're such kind, gentle souls, very posh and very well. It's all hidden in there somewhere. We got to get it.
I love that. I love that headcanon of yours.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm unhinged today for some reason. I don't know, but I'll go with it. I'll ride it.
Are we both running on like just a few hours of sleep? Is that what's going on?
Maybe.
Just slap happy at this point.
Yep.
Oh gosh. Well, that last one was you know, my point as well. I'm just kind of going right into yours. And I mean, there's not much to say about that. I mean, it was cool to see. It was good to see some fighting, good to see some bad guys get beaten up. But yeah, I'm kind of like, okay, so it was all for nothing in the end. Or maybe not. Maybe the power is still on, like you said. Do you have any other points or are you down to notes?
I'm just down to extra notes.
Okay.
Now.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll just kind of run through them real quick. First, music section, real quick. Just two.
Yay, music here. Section.
But music's fun. First, we get Drive by REM, which is mainly, you know, the Outpost team is preparing for their attack, and then everything else is kind of in motion we see. It's kind of a montage little scene. Gus and Jeff and Birdie moving, everybody getting the Outpost. The bad guys even, like, getting prepared and trying to charge up the Beast, but get that REM song, which was fun. And then really the only other one, Nuka bringing back the jukebox as a distraction, playing North to Alaska by Johnny Norton, which is a fun one as well. So sparing use of music this final season, but it's still all been really great.
Yeah, I'm excited for the last episode, but just for the music that that we'll get, because they always do, I think, a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Musical choices.
Talk about Rosie a little bit. Just we get a little bit more of the backstory of her dad and kind of her thoughts and what was going on. And me, I'm just going, oh, so both of your parents are trash. Got it. You know, she seems to regret leaving and not seeing her father again. But I was like, eh, it kind of sounds like he sucked too. So
yeah,
maybe it's okay.
Both your parents sucked. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Ginger just kind of randomly suddenly becoming this voice of reason to Rosie is actually really interesting. And I don't think it's, like, random in the way that, like, oh, that's not what we've seen from her. Because we've always seen her just being very meek and quiet and kind of like, okay, Mom, whatever your diabolical plan is, I guess I'll go along with it because I fear for my life and my unborn child if I don't, I guess, probably. So now we see Ginger stepping up a little bit and being this voice of reason to Rosie. And, again, hitting her with just those, like, really deep lines, you know, last week, what was the, you know, you don't have to pretend like you don't care. Mm-hmm. And now with this one where she's talking about freedom and Rosie says, you know, I traded my freedom for security. And Ginger responds with, well, maybe you traded wrong. It's like, man, you're just really hitting your older sister with the good ones, the big lines. He's like, all right. I'm still hoping for this Rosie turn in the last episode. She's got one more to do it. To some degree, it doesn't even have to be her becoming, you know, the greatest hero ever, but just some kind of redemption I think she still could have. Interested to see if they go that route. The giant deer guide, in quotations, like, for Gus, again, is it a real deer? Is it the same one that we saw? Probably not. Is it a spirit figure from the tree instead? What's the connection to Gus? Will any of these questions get answered? Doubtful, but I don't know.
Eyes on your own paper. That's exactly. That was my exact note too. Like that stag. It's made some peppered appearances. Is it? I'm like, could it be the same one? It couldn't be, like, physically, but is it some sort of, like you said, like a spiritual guide type thing? Because it seems to be a common theme. Yeah. I'm glad you noticed that, too. I was like, it was really dark whenever I was watching. The scene is kind of dark. It's dark. It's snowy. Kind of hard to see. And I'm like, wait, what am I looking at? You know, and, you know, we keep seeing that skeleton of the deer outside. Mm-hmm. Of the cave. It's like, could it be like a spiritual type thing? I don't know.
Because it's tied into that one was sacrificed by Thacker and then it started everything. So now that there's like this weird underlying like spiritual thing to this show that they just don't talk about at all or address. And it's, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They've entered in the realm of the spirituality and supernatural without a whole lot of explanation as to how it works. So I don't know either, but I'm glad that, you know, you picked up on it and questioned it too, and kind of went the same place as me. I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. At least somebody is below Tex in the pecking order. He can at least pick on Jordan. So there's that.
That's right. He's got someone lower on the food chain than him.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one is end on a not high note, I guess. I maybe should have said this earlier and ended on something good. But for my last note is just, Zhang and Sing. You know, we see these obstacles in the cave that we talked about, how much we loved them and how cool it was. And then they're in worse shape after Gus, Birdie, and Jep have gone through them with the broken ice and thawed flowers. And yet somehow all of those even harder obstacles now that they've been gone through are easily bypassed by Zhang and her whole team. Like, how? How do they just, like, show up? Like, we see them almost die a couple of times to get through these things. And it's like, oh, we're also here. You know, it's like, it's Zhang and her, I assume, her revealed teleportation powers, because that's really the only way I can understand how they all just showed up there after everything that the other three went through. But, okay.
There's, like we were saying, it's like, I don't want to have to keep pushing that stuff aside every episode and have to keep, you know, suspending the disbelief. It's like finding the cave, you know, was this really mysterious thing. No one could find it. Gus was able to because he's, you know, got this, I don't know if this energy, this focus, whatever it is that he's able to hone in on to be able to find it. I can buy that.
Yeah.
But then for Zhang and her team to just roll right up, I get it that the Wolf Boys were tracking them, but they only got to a certain point. I mean,
yeah,
it didn't look like it was just out in the open. It looked like you had to go through like this cavernous, winding path to kind of find it, you know, or at least that's what it seemed like, when Gus, you know, was looking for the cave. And then, to go through the same obstacles with just ease, you know. It didn't look that easy, you know. They looked the rocks looked slippery, frozen, and if the flowers were melting, if the ice from the flowers were melting, did they all not just get exposed? I mean, Gus didn't seem successful in putting the flare out, right? So, if that is what was causing the ice to melt, isn't that what's making the flowers like activate? I don't know proper word for it, but you know what I mean, to like, it's not safe any longer to pass through here, but they just go ahead and pass on through this whole team of them, and then just to show this up just in the nick of difficult time.
There's all this really hard journey, we finally made it, we barely survived, and it's, you know, we thankfully we had some weird spirit guide and spiritual thing and something guiding us, we did it. Oh, we're here too. How? Well, you see, I I checked the script and I found out what you guys did and where you were at. So that seemed easier to me.
I know. And I really hate to like end it there, but that's just kind of where I'm at with it. Like I said, I feel like it would be disingenuous to at least not talk about it and bring attention to it. Like if we just completely ignored it, then that wouldn't be good. But I tried to focus on all of the other stuff, you know, and the details of the show, but I feel like it was, you know, fair to kind of call it out, because I'm sure many others are kind of sharing the same thoughts, like, well, what the heck, you know, yeah. Having to keep trying to ignore things like that each episode does get a little frustrating. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
It's how much I love this show very much. It's dear to me.
Yes.
And you can't truly love without, you know, if you're afraid to call out the faults and the red flags when they're there.
Yeah, that's totally fair. That is totally fair. But
I just want better from you, sweet tooth. I know what you're capable of.
I really just hope they bring it home the next episode. It's our final episode. We only have one more to go. And I just really, really, as I've said many times already, just the worst possible things for Zhang and Sing. Mm-hmm. Just to see where he's come. I mean, he's gone. Like his eyes, yeah. He is just gone. Like mm-hmm. nobody is home. You know, lights are on, but no one is home is what it yeah. seems like. And I'm like, dude, you are a doctor. You took an oath. And maybe that's long gone because of everything that he's done to hybrids, mm-hmm. you know, in search of a cure for the sick, you know. But first thing is do no harm, you know, mm-hmm. the Hippocratic Oath. And
turned it into the hypocritical oath. Yeah, that's what he did.
Good one. Yeah. So I want all the bad things for him. I just feel like there's no coming back for him. And of course, Zhang, she's absolutely terrible. So those are the mm-hmm. you know, things that I really hope. And of course, happy endings for, you know, for everyone else. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Any other notes or anything else to say about this episode?
That's all I've got.
All right. Well, let's see what our listeners have to say about this week's episode, starting with Dawn.
All right. Dawn Elizabeth says, I'm sorry I missed commenting on the two previous episodes. Like those two, this one was another that had me in tears. What a dark final season this has been. I'm still scared for Jep and really thought we had lost him this time. I sure didn't see Birdie ending the way that she... hang on. Let me read that again. Yeah, I was just... Okay. I sure didn't see Birdie ending the way she did instead. Poor Gus. This kid has had to deal with so much and it doesn't seem to be over yet. I did have the awful thought that all the hints about Jep being the one to die are all really a red herring. That we are going to lose Gus instead. Oof. Don, don't do that to me. What is this show doing to me? Yeah. I do think there's hope for Rosie after that talk with her sister. While I don't want the show to end, I don't think I can take much more. On a different note, I wanted to mention the actress who plays Zhang. I knew her back when she was on Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. I think it was Mrs. O'Brien. Oh. That was a totally different character, and I think she's doing a terrific job in this show. Yeah, absolutely. Just say, I hate her so much. I'm curious as to whether Paik had seen her in DSN and what his thoughts are. If so, thanks for your hard work, and we'll see what happens to Gus and the crew soon. About that, I'm not a Star Trek person, Don. Unfortunately, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, but I've never really dove into Star Trek at all, so I haven't seen Deep Space Nine. Sorry if that's not the answer that you wanted, but yeah. I
don't. you gotta be
a Trekkie.
Honest.
Yeah.
I'm not a deep Trekkie, but I've, you know, dabbled in Star Trek over the years. And I've seen, like, a handful of Deep Space Nine episodes. I've not watched the entire... Although I heard great things about Deep Space Nine, I've not seen the entire series. So I don't recall if I'd seen her. But she did certainly look familiar. When she first showed up as Zhang, I was like, man, I don't know. But I feel like I've seen her, this actress, somewhere before. And I did look her up on IMDb. She's got so many credits. She's been in, you know, lots of different, you know, shows over the years. So that makes sense that, you know, she was recognizable. But that's great. Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate you writing in. Catherine Peters says, I was so scared for Jep this entire episode after that flashback intro and him saying, lead the way, sweet tooth. Even the rock jumping scene had me concerned until I realized that they wouldn't let Jep's story end that easily. But I was completely blindsided by Birdie's sacrifice. I mean, seriously, where did she come from and why did Jep jerk like he had been stabbed? Life has not been fair to poor Gus. I'm not ready for this series to end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you.
Same. And then, of course, we have our email from Daphne.
Yay.
Always excited to see what she has to say. So she says, hi, Rima and Paik. I can't send feedback this week without starting with something obvious. I spent all this time trying to make it right, and I never stopped to ask if I should. Quoted from Birdie. This quote immediately reminded me of a similar statement Ian Malcolm made in Jurassic Park. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like people wait until after they've already done something wrong to consider if it could be fixed and also if fixing it will somehow be a solution or make things worse. Ginger seems to have a heart. The past two episodes, she's tried to get her sister to look back at who she once was and who she is now and to realize that she may have made a mistake coming back into the fold. A true dream team came to life with Nuka, Sienna, Wendy, and Becky. Wendy on her own was incredibly badass. I think they care more about Rosie's boys by focusing on trapping versus killing them. Yeah. In the end, watching Birdie die made me think about the differences between the mother figures on this show. Birdie sent Gus off with Pubba to protect him, while Zhang looks at ways to exploit her grandchildren while pushing one daughter away and loving the other. Zhang's cruel world is not one I would want to live in. The big decision remains. Do you save what's left of humankind, or do you let nature run its course? I guess we'll find out in the next episode. P.S. Death to Sing and Zhang. They deserve to die together now.
Summed up nicely.
Yeah.
Agree. Thank you so much, Daphne. I love the Jurassic Park reference. You know,
yeah.
We knew we were going to get that from Daphne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Alrighty. We also got a voice message from Steve. Let's see what he thought about this week's episode.
Hello, Strange Indeed, Paik and Rima. This is Steve, and this is for Sweet Tooth, Episode 7.
Aw, Jeppard's meeting Birdie for the first time.
Okay, well, this sounds like a solid plan for the group that's going to take back the facility, but we'll see.
Oh, Rosie's dad wanted her to get rid of her kids, babies before they were born.
That's not cool. Oh, the dilemma. Stop the sick, stop the hybrids. Are you going to stop both by stopping one or the other? I don't know. You'll find out when you get to the cave, I guess. Oh, and the Jurassic Park question. Never stop to ask if we should. Oh, and right there outside of the cave is the deer. Is that, I'm assuming that's supposed to be the deer carcass that Captain Thacker killed, right? Oh, good trick with the rock. Guess there's nobody going across that ice. Phew. For a second there, I thought one of them was going to fall on the ice. North to Alaska, playing over the PA system. Love it. Uh-oh, if the flowers start thawing, right, that means they'll be dangerous to Jep and Birdie, right? Of course, they still have to get out of the cave. I don't know, maybe there's another entrance? Exit? Whoa, the heart of the cave. All those antlers or branches? Cool. So wipe out the entire human race to save the hybrids? Oh, so Zing and Zhang found them. Now what's going to happen? Oh my goodness, this episode is almost, this is the second to the last episode. And now we're back to the facility and Bear and Wendy and what are the humans going to do? Okay, so the wolves are locked up and now the humans attack. Somebody release the wolves. Oh, Wendy threw the Molotov cocktail and blew up a bunch. Okay, so the bad guys got away with the beast, Jordan driving, the whole I win thing, whatever, Jordan, you're a dick. And the other group followed them in that truck. Where are the wolves? I guess they're with, I don't know.
Birdie jumped in front of Big Man and the knife and oh.
Yeah, last episode coming up. I don't know if I missed the deadline for this one or not, but I'm going to send it.
Oh, gosh.
Steve, that was incredible. Me and Rima, like, mute ourselves while listening. But, like, the laughter I just had that wasn't going into the mic and then just the emotional connection. That was, I mean, live Steves are always great, but that was a cream of the crop live Steve. Thank you so much for that one.
I second that. That reaction alone brought back tears from, like, it was like reliving that moment all over again and just the journey that you took us on there, Steve. Thank you so much. You made it in time, by the way.
Yes, got it. Yes.
We got the voicemail this time, and I'm so happy that we did. That was really wonderful. Yeah, that was a good point. Yeah, how the heck were they? Was there another way to get out? Because they got to go back through it in the cave. Mm. He brought up a really good point that I didn't think about.
Yeah,
like, is there another way out, or do they have to go back through there? Oh boy, the dilemma. I mean, that's probably the least of the worries at the moment, considering everything that just happened. That was so great. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everyone that wrote in on our Facebook page and sent in emails. We've got one more episode to go, y'all. So,
yeah,
that's your final chance. You can, you know, if you binge, you know, we've had a couple of folks over time, not just with the show, but other shows, that sometimes they wait to write in at the very last, you know, and just give their overall thoughts about the entire season. If you've binged it and waited to write in, you know, next week's going to be that final time, either on the episode or the entire series or season.
Yeah. If, well, hey, even series, if, since this is the wrap up of Sweet Tooth at all, just for anybody, if you have any thoughts on Sweet Tooth as a series, as a whole, that you want to share, let's let this finale be big. We like lots of feedback on a finale. So episode, season, series, all of it. Let's hear what people have to say.
Yeah. I love seeing all the messages when I go collect them all. So keep them coming. Yeah, I'm still wiping my tears from that, hearing that reaction. As we've been talking about, next week we will be covering season 3, episode 8, the series finale titled This is a Story.
Man.
Wow. Always just mixed feelings when we come to the end of one of our shows. Have we come to the end of one of our shows before? Is this our first one?
Yeah, we finished up Lock and Key.
Oh, yes, Lock and Key. Thank you for the reminder. Mm-hmm. How could I forget? Jeez. But yeah.
And I guess Dexter, as far as New Blood, but then now they're doing that prequel show, which we haven't even talked about whether we're covering that or not, but I don't know.
We have not. We'll have to do some talking behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no description, but obviously this is it. They're going to wrap it all up, I hope.
This is a story of a boy with deer antlers and saved the whole world. I don't know. yeah. His mother left him back with a photograph. I don't know. I could keep going.
We can just end it there.
Yeah. That's where my head is today. I don't know. I'm in a special place. But yeah, so like we said, feedback. We'd love to hear from all of you as we are wrapping up this series. So if you'd like to leave feedback, messages, voicemails, emails, all of that, you can find our contact information over at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. A lot of great things happening on Podcastica. We've talked about Lucy and Peter's coverage of The Bear. That has been,
let it rip.
Yeah. Has been fantastic. House of the Dragon, is in full swing. There's only a few more episodes.
That's another 8 episode season, isn't it?
It is a little bit of a shorter season than what we got from season 1. So yeah, there's only a few more to go, for House of the Dragon. So check out, their coverage there. Absolutely fantastic. Just wealth of knowledge, you know, all up in the, and I'm not saying that because I was on yesterday's episode.
Yeah.
I've only been on one episode. I'm talking about everyone else. The Wendy and Rennie and Veronica. They're just,
they've been crushing it. I've been loving listening to this. This season's been great. Yeah. The show and the podcast have both been top notch.
Yeah, absolutely. And then of course, Cobra Kai has picked up for the final season.
Yeah. So it's back, so I know you're happy to be with Rich and Jason talking about that, and it's having a blast. I know you weren't on the first episode, just with Jason's travel and stuff, that kind of recording was weird, but
scheduling
we'll be
conflicts.
Back on, so, yeah.
Yeah, we're recording not tomorrow, but Thursday, so that'll be up for episode 2. But yeah, that's just fun, you know, just a fun show that you can, you know, kind of crack up, but it also has a lot of heart, so... Yeah. definitely recommend that as well. And then, of course, all of our shows, right? Mm-hmm. Including Run for Your Lives. What do you guys have going on this week?
Let's see. Me and Daphne this week are covering The Stuff.
Hmm.
The 80s, I believe, movie. my brain, different place today. But yeah, it's just one of those wacky, like, comedy horror movies that's kind of a classic, cult classic. Real crazy. It's about, like, a ice creamy, marshmallowy fluff dessert that everybody loves, and it becomes so, you know, just all over the place. But the only thing that they don't realize is whenever people eat it, it takes over the brain and turns them into, like, these horrible zombie kind of mindless creatures. So,
oh my.
Yeah. It's really great. We have Jeff and Jerry on with us for the episode. So we have the whole Buffalo team together to talk about this one. Lots of laughs, drive each other crazy with it. It just goes off the rails. So I guess it's kind of fitting for after this episode where I'm at.
Feels like a MST 3000 situation is what
a little bit. It gets that way a little bit. So it's really fun. So you can check that out. And then again, it was cool to just have all of us together to talk about a movie. But also, if you enjoy that, if you check that out and like the four of us together, then of course, as I mentioned, Buffalo Podcast is our new venture with the four of us. Just shooting the shit, having a good time, trying to make each other laugh, playing games, doing fun things. And that's been really fun to be doing as well. It's a nice little change of pace, but still, you know, podcasting and having fun with friends. That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think you're in the right mindset for recording that later.
Yeah, I've got that later on, and it's going to be an interesting one.
you're just where you need to be.
Yeah. So check out all those shows, and then subscribe to all the ones you love, and then the ones that you have, including us. Again, I always ask just to really give us that extra little punch up of love and help. We always like reviews and ratings and things like that, especially on Apple iTunes. Really helps us out a lot. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks in advance.
But for now, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And Danielle Howard is strange indeed.
His mother left him back with a photograph. I don't know. I could keep going.